this Sabbath day and to see all of you. Praise the Lord for you. And I ask this morning that you would be praying for me as I have a message on my heart that sometimes, you know, when your heart gets covered up with other stuff, you kind of look in your heart and you're like, hey, where's that message? Where's that thing? So would you join me for a moment? Father, we praise you for your goodness and your love, and we thank you for the opportunity to be here today. We thank you, Lord, for the worship and the time together of worshiping you and experiencing you together as a church family that we've already spent this morning. What a joy it's been to come to your house today, Lord, to meet with your people who together we have brought your presence to be here. And we invite your presence to overpower us today, fill us, pour over us from your strength, the guidance of your Spirit to lead us into truth, to know your way, to know your will, to love you in a deeper way, more than we ever have before. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, children, could you raise up your orange sheets of paper for me? I just want to see how many of you have them. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's great. That's wonderful. Do you have something to write with?
Yeah.
You do? Are you ready to write something? Excellent. Good job. Now, on your piece of paper, the right-hand side, middle ways. You know your right from your left? You got it? There's a place that says, what am I learning about God? Mom, Dad, can you help me out? What am I learning about God today? I don't know if I'm quoting that exactly right, but that's kind of the phrase. I'm going to give you something to put in that box. Now, the rest of it's up to you, okay? You guys, I'm inviting you to listen and fill in that page and make sure and ask Mom and Dad to help you if you need to learn how to spell something. Even if you spell it wrong, it's okay. Just make some notes, draw some pictures. But in that box, are you ready? Something I'm learning about God today is this. God is light. L-I-G-H-T. Light. All right? Now, is it Miss Jessica, the teacher? We got one thing on our paper. All right? And I think there's going to be more. I so appreciate the kids having that opportunity to do that. God is light. Everybody got that? Okay. So, praise the Lord. If you saw the sign out front, if you looked in your bulletin, you probably guessed what I might tell the children this morning, right? When I started that. God is light. And in 1 John, the first chapter, verse 5, we read that it says this, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Amen? And there's something really cool about the word light in that passage, and it connects several other places, and Lord willing, we'll get to those several other places, but right in this very beginning, I want to tell you something about it. And a disclaimer to go with it. You might imagine that a fellow from Oklahoma, Kansas, or Missouri, misplaced in Michigan for a little while. Not accidentally. It was all good. Don't take me wrong. Has trouble speaking other languages because you have witnessed English is quite difficult for me. And what I'm trying to say is this. My family laughs at me when I try to speak Spanish. And I can't speak Spanish, Brother Alfredo, I can't speak Spanish. But I might try to say uno or dos every now and then, and taco and burrito. And they laugh at me because the accent does not work. And in order to share with you something about light that I think is so amazing, I've got to go a different direction and I've got to go to Greek. This is sad. But it's necessary. There's a Greek word, and it's, I think, phos. That's as close as I can get. Phos and close. But it is this. The Greek word for light in this passage is phos. And it is light that is never kindled, therefore never extinguished. Now, that puts me on edge for just a minute, because it takes me somewhere a week ago to a message that Pastor Lauren shared with us. The many things stirred me up, Pastor Lauren, and I praise God for that. But there's a couple things that I need to share with you. Two things very, very much stirred me up for this whole entire week. And one was very positive and encouraging and uplifting, because it gave me some confidence and some hope, where we often think, just like in the scripture, you remember the scripture that says things like, it was pointed out to us that they mocked. And here's the context. You said it was going to be soon, the kingdom of God. And it's been a long time. And now here we are, many years later. Here it is, actually just 2 days in God's timing and in God's mind and in God's eternity. That was something that stirred me in such a positive way, and I was renewed and regenerated in my faith and my confidence in God. I'm like, you know, that's right. I'd always heard that the whole one day is 1,000 and 1,000 is one, but I never had it put together. I don't know where I've been. Somewhere else. I didn't hear that specific message. See, English is hard. It's only been 2 days when we think about how God thinks, since Jesus' glorious resurrection. So it's okay that it's not here yet, and praise God for his long suffering that it's not here yet, because we have time. There was a prayer request mentioned about loved ones who need Jesus, and did a list of names go through our hearts and minds? Sadness. But yet, hope. Here's the other thing that stirred me in this, and this stirred me in a way that it compelled me to think, and it urged me to have some time to really consider. The question, or I guess it wasn't a question, Pastor Lauren, it was that simple phrase that said, maybe eternity is not for you then. You remember that phrase? My first reaction was, I'm going to have to talk to Pastor Lauren. See, he can't say stuff like that. And then I realized, what a powerful thing. Because it stirs us to think. It stirs our heart to consider. If eternity is something I'm looking to, then eternity must be something I'm experiencing. And if eternity is that thing which I'm wanting to experience now, so that the literal eternity with God is becomes reality, then there are choices for me to make. There is a path in which I must desire to walk. Eternal perspective. And I'm not trying to re-preach Pastor Lauren's message. I'm just wanting to share with you today that I've been thinking. Has anybody been thinking? Anybody get stirred up a bit? Praise God. Praise God for the powerful word of God that comes and moves in our hearts. And this is it. This is where I believe God has taken me through this week. God is light. And as we shared the Greek word, there is that basis of eternity. We read in 1 John, I'll read it so that it can be exact. 1 John, the first chapter and verse 5. Then this is the message, 1 John 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness. at all. Now, darkness is not only it's not only sin, and we can relate that, right? We often speak in church, and we get this whole idea of like, out there is a world of sin. And I'm not lying. That's real. That's true. Our hope is that we'd keep the darkness away from our own hearts and minds and lives, right? Amen? But in this text here, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is eternal. God has always been. His perspective then must be an eternal perspective because he is eternal. And when we add in the phrase, and there in him is no darkness at all, it's not only sin, but just think about this for a minute and let it sink in and the awe of this. Not only is darkness referring to sin, but it is that the consequences of sin. I've experienced those. Have you? God has not. That's it. I'm not going to add any more to that. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Simple point, but I believe it's powerful. And it speaks to the eternal perspective that God has. More. As God is light, God sent light. I'm certain that you are absolutely aware and understanding of what I'm saying without much explanation. But I want to read in the book of John, the Gospel of John, and the 8th chapter, where Jesus himself says this, as he spake again to them, saying, verse 12, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And guess which Greek word goes there? God is light, and he sent light. God is eternal, and he sent eternity, if you will let me say it that way. I don't know if that's proper. Might be a better way to say it. But as God is eternal, and God has always been, he sent from himself his Son. He sent eternity. There's something happening here. Please don't go asleep, because I'm almost finished with the message. Unless God does something different, we're almost finished. Can I get an amen for that? A little less enthusiastic, please. God is light, and he sent light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Light of the world, light of life. These kind of coincide in such a wonderful way. There's some words in here. Light, darkness. Darkness is to continue in sin. Light of life. Continuous fellowship with God, with the light, with the original light, with the light that he sent so that we could be connected to him. Amen. Whenever we have good news, it's very customary, and I think it's a good thing that it's customary, that we reach into another moment to share something that's not quite so good. You know why? Because I believe you and I need to be urged along. We need to be pushed. We need to be, you know, give that swift kick, so to speak. Take a minute to get there, but if you'll listen, in Romans 8:1, there's the verse that says, there is therefore now no condemnation. How's that finish? For those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's go there so I can make sure and get it right. This is a beautiful text. It's wonderful. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus,
And we can stop there, but we really shouldn't. Brothers and sisters, I'm not going to badmouth anyone this morning, but I'm going to tell you that in mainstream, popular line of Christianity today, we like to stop right there. Now, it's not a fallacy to say there's no condemnation in Jesus Christ, but what brings it to an error is if we don't finish. Because that text goes on to say, for those who would walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And that's a very important thing. And guess what? There's an entire message that could take us many, many, many moons. We're not going to go there. I just wanted to get that verse out there for you to see. Jesus Christ offers us a place where there's no condemnation. But it brings us to a point where we get to choose it. Because as you've heard many times from this stage, I'm sure, this platform and many others, that God hasn't created puppets. He hasn't created people that he controls with a thumb of domination, but rather a heart that says, pleading, I am the light. And through Jesus, the light, you can follow me. There's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. And there's a path that takes us to Jesus. Here's something, though. There's three things. Kids, if you're still writing, God is light. You can write down God sent light. And his name is Jesus. And you can write the third thing down. God intends light for us. But here's the problem. In John 3:16, right below the greatest news of all time, God sent his son. He loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us, that we might have eternal life for those that would believe on him. You know that verse, but here is the bad news that causes the good news to be even greater. And it comes in the form of a caution. How can we get to greater news by exploring bad news? Because evil and darkness doesn't have, it's not, just like God gives us a choice to follow good, he doesn't make it where we have to be defeated. In John 3, verse 19, it says this. Remember, we just read, there's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. But let's look at John 3, verse 19. It says this. Here's the condemnation. What? You mean there's still that available? Brothers and sisters, we have to know that that's available. Because if we don't, then the good news really isn't that good. You follow me? This beautiful news of Jesus dying on the cross isn't that good if it's a dime a dozen. Here's the condemnation. Verse 19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light, and there's that Greek word again, same word. Light came into the world. God the Father, the creator of all things, sent light. And this is the condemning thing. Light came in, and men loved darkness rather than light. That's tough. That's bad. I'm going to say things very simply, and I will forever. That is bad. Men love darkness. Men love darkness rather. Now, there's a little different word in that darkness. It refers more to the actual sin than the consequence. Because if you could line up for sin and line up for the consequence, this line's long, there's nobody lined up there. Follow me? We don't want the consequence. But the draw of the sin, it says in the word, right below the greatest news of all time, John 3:16, it says, there's still a condemnation available. Beware, because men love darkness rather than light. That's bad. Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, may be seen, may be realized, may be witnessed. And I think the most powerful phrase is still yet to come, that they are wrought in God. More good news. See, I love that God puts good news, and like, here's a little warning, because I want you to get the good news. He saved us through Jesus because he loves us. He warns us of darkness and that it is going to be very tempting. It's a very real thing to love darkness. It's a real thing to love bad stuff. Matter of fact, society will tell you that the new good is bad. Am I saying that the right way? Something like that. You get the idea. It's, if someone says, oh, that's bad, they're like, they really mean it's good. God doesn't mince his words that way. When God says darkness, men love it and they shouldn't, that's what he means. He's not tricking you. He's not trying to pull one over on you. He's being real. He's being absolute. He's saying men love darkness rather than light. That's bad. More good news? What did I mean? That these things that are manifest, remember, when we're doing evil, it's because we don't want those, and we love darkness. We don't want those things to come to light. We want to hide those things. We want to keep those things hidden. But then that verse, when we do truth, who gets to choose to do truth? It's an action word. It's an action phrase. Those who would do truth, be a part of truth, experience truth, learn truth, walk in the light. We'll get there in a moment. They come to the light that the deeds may be manifest. It's okay. We don't have to hide. It's like driving down the road in a 55 going 54. You can wave at the officer. You don't have to hide your face. The good news in that, where we wrap up the good news, that they can be manifest, they can be seen, they can be witnessed, that they are wrought or performed or practiced in my own careless way of time and ability. No, in God, in the light. God doesn't leave us. Saves us, warns us, holds us close. That's amazing. That's an eternal, awesome God who is eternal, who sent eternity, and his expectation or his hope, and I think it's okay to say expectation, we can talk about that later if you'd like, is for us to be eternal with him. How amazing is that? We're going to close. God is light. God sent light. And God intends light for us. I've said that several times because I hope that it gets in your heart, in your mind, and it works with you the rest of this upcoming week. 1 John 5 is where we're going to close. 1 John 1, verse 5 and following, a few verses. Listen, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. There's a really cool thing that is going on here is that God is light. We don't get to question that. We shouldn't question that. I take that back. It's okay to question. Forgive me. But there's nothing we're going to do to change it. God is eternal. God is the creator. He has always been and he will always be. The second one, not a lot we can do to change that. God sent light. He sent Jesus, his first begotten, coming from the bosom of the Father, straight from the creator of all things. We have Jesus Christ come to save us. It's hands off on those two points. But here's the cool thing. There's a lot of time spent here on number three. God intends light for us. Listen, praise team, I'm going to hurry. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I don't know about you, but this passage, these several verses from verse 5 to 11, just or 5 to 10, seem to just go back and forth. You know, you got to stay away from sin. But if you have sin, and it just keeps going back, and I can, if I allow myself, get a little confused, but I want you to hear what I believe sums up and wraps up this portion of text so well. In the second chapter of 1 John, the first two verses, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. We get to the bottom line. God intends light for us. Light, again, that is absent from darkness, that is absent from the working of sin, but also absent from the consequence of sin. What joy that must bring to the heart of the Father. When his children stay away from darkness and follow truth. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And here it is again. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. And he is the propitiation. Big word. He's the atonement, the expiator, if I said that right. He's the covering. He's the one who takes the consequence. He took the consequence of sin for us. And not for ours only, but the sin of the whole world. Our eternal God, who is light. I kind of get a picture of Jeremiah 29:11 for just a minute coming into my heart. Where God says, I know the plans I have for you to prosper you. And then at the end of that says that you have an expected end. God has an expectation, a desired final destination. Brothers and sisters, that is light. Amen. I asked the praise team to come. I want to follow up with this word that came in earlier. And if the plans haven't changed, I think it's the song we're going to sing. If God is light, and God sent light for us, and if God intends light for us, then it is very safe to give him our heart. And if that's something that you have not done yet, today's the day. This God who has always been, the one true God who has always been and always will be, is waiting that you would take the light that he has offered us. You would take Jesus that he has given to us and make him your Savior. Fulfill what his expectation is. Fulfill that intention that he has in his eternal heart for you and join him in eternity. And surrender and give him your heart. Amen.
Amen. You know, Pastor Tim, I think it's funny that